Dreams from My Father, A Story of Race and Inheritance. A few months after my 21st birthday, a stranger called to give me the news. I was living in New York at the time, on 94th between 2nd and 1st, part of that unnamed shifting border between East Harlem and the rest of Manhattan. The line was thick with static.
Betty? Betty, is this you?
Yes, who's this?
Yes, Betty, this is your Aunt Jane, in Nairobi. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, who'd you say you were?
Aunt Jane. Listen, Barry, your father is dead. He's killed in a car accident. Hello, can you hear me? I say your father is dead. Barry, please call your uncle in Boston and tell him. I can't talk now, okay, Barry? I will call you again.
That was all.
At the time of his death, my father remained a myth to me, both more and less than a man. He had left Hawaii back in 1963 when I was just 2. So that as a child I knew him only through the stories that my mother and grandparents told. I can still picture Gramps leaning back in his old stuffed chair after dinner, sipping whiskey and cleaning his teeth with the cellophane from his cigarette pack, recounting the time that my father almost threw a man off the Pali lookout because of a pipe.
See, your mom and dad decided to take this friend to his sightseeing around the island, my grandfather begins. So they drove up to the lookout, and Barack was probably on the wrong side of the road the whole way over there.
Your father was a terrible driver, my mother explains to me.
He'd end up on the left-hand side, the way the British drive, and if you said something, he'd just huff about silly American rules.
Well, my grandfather continues, this particular time, they arrived in one piece, and they got out and stood out at the railing to admire the view. And Barack, he was puffing away on this pipe that I'd given him for his birthday, pointing out all the sights with the stem, like a sea captain.
Your father was really proud of this pipe, my mother interrupts again. He'd smoke it all night while he studied. And sometimes,
look, Ann, do you want to tell the story or are you going to let me finish?
Sorry, Dad. Go ahead.
Anyway, this poor fella, he was another African student, wasn't he? Fresh off the boat. This poor kid must have been impressed with the way Barack was holding forth with this pipe, because he asked if he could give it a try. Your dad thought about it for a minute and finally agreed. And as soon as the fella took his first puff, he started coughing up a fit. Coughed so hard that the pipe slipped out of his hand and dropped over the railing. 100 feet down the face of the cliff.
Gramps stops to take another nip from his flask before continuing.
Well now, your dad was gracious enough to wait until his friend stopped coughing before he told him to climb over the railing and bring the pipe back. The man took one peek down this 90-degree incline and told Barack that he'd buy him a replacement.
Quite sensibly, Toot says from the kitchen. We call my grandmother Tutu, Toot for short. It means grandparent in Hawaiian. For she decided on the day I was born that she was still too young to be called Granny.
Gramps scowls, but decides to ignore. But Barack was adamant about getting his pipe back, Gramps continues, because it was a gift and couldn't be replaced. So the fella took another look and shook his head again. And that's when your dad picked him clear off the ground and started dangling him off the railing. Gramps lets out a hoot and gives his knee a jovial slap. As he laughs, I imagine myself looking up at my father. Dark against the brilliant sun, the transgressor's arms flailing about as he's held aloft, a fearsome vision of justice.
He wasn't really holding him over the railing, Dad, my mother says, looking at me with some concern, but Gramps takes another sip of whiskey and plows forward.
At this point, other people were starting to stare, and your mother was begging Barack to stop. I guess Barack's friend was just holding his breath and saying his prayers. Anyway, after a couple of minutes, your dad set the man back down on his feet, patted him on the back, and suggested, calm as you please, that they all go find themselves a beer. And don't you know, that's how your dad acted for the rest of the tour, like nothing happened. Of course, your mother was still pretty upset when they got home. Fact, she was barely talking to your dad. Barack wasn't helping matters any either, because when your mother tried to tell us what had happened, he just shook his head and started to laugh.
Relax, Anna, he said to her. Your dad had this deep baritone, see, and this British accent.
My grandfather tucks his chin into his neck at this point to capture the full effect.
Relax, Anna, he said. I only wanted to teach the chop a lesson about the proper care of other people's property.
Gramps would start to laugh again until he started to cough, and Toot would mutter under her breath that she supposed it was a good thing that my father had realized that dropping the pipe had just been an accident, because who knows what might have happened otherwise, and my mother would roll her eyes at me and say they were exaggerating.
Your father can be a bit domineering, my mother would admit with a hint of a smile, but it's just that he's basically a very honest person. That makes him uncompromising sometimes.